is the children of Ephraim, though armed, being armed, carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Why would people have seen such mighty acts turn back in the day of battle, considering all the things that God has shown to them, all the mighty works which are itemized here? He said they turned back. In essence, their heart failed them because they failed to keep one commandment and law of God. And what was that law? He said they forgot the works and his wonders that he had showed them, marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers. Because they forgot these things, their hearts failed them. Let's go to Mark chapter 6, verse 52. This is going to highlight a very strong thing God wants to pass across as we come to the end of the year. Mark 6, 52. So they forgot the covenant of God and the works of God. Mark 6, 52. Things of the Spirit are simple, yet a little adjustment can make so much of a difference. Let's start from 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side. Unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they made the same mistake the children of Ephraim did. So they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. Brethren, the book of God of remembrance. I implore all of you to go and get a book and begin to write the wonders that God has done in your life. See, this is so important. It says, Moses knew the ways of God. Moses wrote the first five books. He itemized the miracles. But those guys forgot. So as a result, they could not, when they faced a fresh challenge, they were so amazed. There was nothing in them to resist. It says the miracles God did for them was so mighty, was mightier than the challenge they were facing. But they crumbled. It says, for their hearts were hardened because they did not give consideration to the miracle that Jesus did in the previous verse. It says they considered not the miracle of the loaves. He had just multiplied five loaves and two fish for them. They did not consider, they counted it light. So when they faced the threat, they were afraid, they were so amazed. You see, you guys, didn't you see the five fish and the five loaves and two fish and just multiplied? What happened? If you go to the book of Exodus, I won't go and read that. It says when the Red Sea was parted, you can see the songs. They said they danced. Mariam, and they were dancing. Say, the Lord is good. They danced and danced and danced and danced. Two verses away. The Bible says when they saw the there was no water, the waters were bitter. So they murmured against Moses and against Aaron because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Understand, this is so vital that God was telling me that, look, that people have faced mountains that if they build a memorial to me upon those things I've done to them in their closets, that there's no challenge that they cannot face in life because they're forgotten. So they forgot they were armed for battle. It has nothing to do with the outside. It has to do with the internal strength that God has deposited inside you in winning those battles. They were armed for battle. But when they saw the giants, so their hearts failed. And God took me to Jonathan. Go to the story of Jonathan. Let's go there. For time, when you get to read it. It says, Jonathan and his armor bearer slew lots of Philistines. Go to that story. God said, where was Jonathan when Goliath came out? Apparently, David, who's the lion and the bear, in my mind, what Jonathan did was more significant than what David did, in my mind. Where was Jonathan? Having God delivered him from just two of them, they slew the entire army. God said he did not consider. Let us understand this thing. This is so powerful. He did not consider. He did not build a memorial to God on the little things, on the miracles in the backside. David built a memorial. That was all he had. He said, look, the lion was slain. The bear was slain. That's what he said to Saul. He said, who is this uncircumcised? He can't. He built it. It was in his consciousness. He had built it so much that he wasn't faking it. He had entered into him. He said, this uncircumcised Philistine, you'll fall like one of them. While Jonathan that has such a mighty, God has done things, it's ungratefulness. Ungratefulness. And that, what that does is that you don't have enough strength to face the next challenge. That's what happens. It leaks the power of gratefulness and the heart becomes hardened. So simple, but profound. So simple, but profound. So let us go back. I'll tell my friend, he says, Moses knew the ways. God said, how did Moses know the way? He wrote the thing. He was rehearsing it. He said, this is what you did in, as we're crossing the Red Sea. You parted the Red Sea. It was in his consciousness. Especially now that miraculous things are happening in people's lives. Go back and itemize those things. The children of Israel, all they were interested in, the miracle came, they forgot. They went. Look at them, they forgot. Murmuring. This thing is so powerful that, let me give you an example. What happened to me? When I came to this country, when I was in school, you see, there are memorial things in your life that you must, God took me by saying, you have forgotten those things. Things in my life, there are landmarks in my life that once I am faced with a challenge, I go back and I hedge my faith and I go back to those things and begin to rehearse my victories in God. See, these things are private things that nobody even knows. When David killed, nobody knew. So don't underestimate the things God has done for you in your life as a person and don't let anybody undermine them. If I look insignificant to people, forget it. As long as God has done one miracle in your life, that's enough. Go back and build a memorial so you can draw. The Bible says when the desire comes, that desire is a tree of life. That means you can draw life from the miracle, no matter how insignificant it looks in your life, and continue to reproduce effects and miracles in your life throughout your entire existence. Let me give you an example. When I was in school, you've heard this story so much, but I'll say it in another dimension. I had exams because I had to do receipts and I failed my exams, and because I didn't read my books, it was my fault. So, but I realized that even if you make a mistake, God will still deliver you. I had 6 weeks to prepare for the exams. Long and short, I prepared in the Lord. I mean, the Lord helped me. In fact, I got certain scriptures and it was a miracle that I passed all the five exams in the space of 6 weeks, miraculously. Now, I was coming to the UK, and the way the situation was in Nigeria, I was preparing for exams in the UK, and it was a bit tight because I was working full-time in Nigeria. I had to come to the UK, so I had about 3 weeks to prepare for the exam. I was preparing, But I had 3 weeks to prepare for the exam. I said, Lord, how am I going to do this? I've been working full time. These are exams that people do over, have you heard of PLAB exam? People do it. They do it over and over and over again. In fact, you know the lady that came here last week, when she said, ah, she really said that UVA, when I did the exam, she said, ah, you came to UK in 3 weeks and you passed this exam people have been doing for years. I'll tell you the secret, honestly. I came to the UK, 3 weeks, it was during Christmas period. The Lord said, look, before I came, about 2 weeks before, I said, look, you have what it takes inside you. I've deposited what it takes inside you to pass this exam. Go back and we have the victory. I went back to that experience. See, listen to me carefully. Every day in the morning, I would sit up. I'm going to worship Jesus. Say, Father, I thank you for what you did for me in those 5 receipts and how you caused me to excel. Each day, as I did, I began to worship God. The same season, the same season, I don't have to explain, the same feeling and it came into my consciousness. And as I came to the UK, I see, the assurance was so strong in me that that thing was, you know, propelling and pulling the necessary things I needed. The world was opened up unto me and everything just seemed to accelerate. It's not as if I had as much knowledge as people did. But I'm telling you that that thing created inside my consciousness that this thing is surmountable. And I went for the exam and I surmounted it. You ask me, how do you do it? I say, this thing is rehearsing the victory that God has done for you in the past. Itemize them. See, it's so important. As you begin to do, your consciousness begins to become filled with that thing. So it's almost as if, like Reverend Emiko said, you cannot go below a level you have given God thanks for. It's so simple, but people forget. They say, faith, and they say, hey, God. The one you did yesterday, you haven't glorified him for it. You haven't thanked me for it. You haven't written a book of remembrance. So I said, okay, Lord, let's go back again. I had one before I stopped. My childhood, I put it there. But I thank you for bringing me to the earth. I thank you for the parents that gave birth to me. I thank you for my primary education and all the places you took me through. I thank you for all the relationships you brought to me. I thank you for my secondary. I thank you. Itemize them. When they're talking about, they were itemizing them. They said the Red Sea. It is a general, no. You call the specific things. I thank you for how you brought me in contact with this so person. I said you begin to itemize the victories of God in your life. And that's how you enter to the next level. Very important. Very profound. That is what gave David the capacity to stand and say, Goliath, the same God that did it will bring you down. And I will give your carcasses to the birds of the air. So let's understand that that is so important. So important. So let's go back as the year runs to an end. Go back to your life and begin to appreciate what God has done. I mean, if someone comes now and says, okay, comes to preach, for example. Let's say I invite an external speaker, 2 speakers. One comes to preach and goes away. The other one comes to preach and comes back and send a letter and say, I thank you very much. Naturally, I would tend to invite the other guy back. That's how it is. I mean, God has feelings. God is not just, he's a person. He has emotions. You know, so let us begin to treat him like a person. Be grateful. The 10 lepers went. One came back and says, because you came back, you are now whole. Complete the cycle of the miracle by giving God thanks. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Like when Brother Yemi came this morning, I was there, he said, Father, I thank you for the journey. I mean, as little as that, let's develop the attitude of thanksgiving. People go out and they don't come back. People sleep, we're taking it for granted, and they don't wake up. When you woke up, Father, I thank you because I slept and I woke up. I thank you because you don't have, you're looking for money to buy a house. Most people haven't had food to eat. That's what's causing problems. You're looking for a job. Or people are sick on the hospital bed. Say, Father, I thank you for good health. Begin to become grateful. I thank you because I have a job I can go to. I thank you for you giving me healthy children. I work in the hospital. When you see them, you say, God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. We must, from a heart of gratitude. It says their hearts were hardened. They considered not. They did not look at the miracle in details. Build a memorial. Construct it to God. Say, Father, I thank you. The miracle of loaves. That's why Jesus said, take it, brethren. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of... of unbelief in departing from the living God. Lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's why it starts. The murmuring starts. Complaining starts. The very thing that we're giving God thanks for before. The job has become a burden. But I thank you for this job. The marriage that you have had there, it has become a thing of complaining. Let's go back. Little adjustment, but very powerful results. Let's go back. It's a reminder. Go back to give God thanks for the things that He has done in your life as a person. Don't let the enemy despise it in your mind. He will say, no, it's because of that. No. Don't let the enemy despise it. Don't let any man despise that thing, because it is the source of it is your own personal thing with God that nobody knows. Build an altar there and begin to worship Him on that thing. Worship Him on that altar. And see God move in your life in Jesus' name. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 5. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent, am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Though we are walking in this body, we have learned by experience that when people oppose us, we do not retaliate on the outside. The Bible says when Jesus was reviled, He did not revile again, but committed Himself unto Him that judges justly. Let's understand, let's begin to live in the Spirit. When people came against Him, sometimes He spoke to them, but behind closed doors, there are certain things Jesus was doing in His closet. He was a man given to prayer. He prayed concerning everything in his life. Let us develop that lifestyle. I heard a man of God yesterday. He said, it touched me, because I said, even this thing that looks so minute, he's praying about it. He said he was praying about that someone did something, so he was praying in his heart that, Lord, I don't really want to have any meeting with this chap again. He was just pointing his heart before God that, Lord, is there a way that we can do it? That, you know, this is someone that is so prominent, you know, committing every single thing to God's hand. Every single minute details. And the same person said, I was going to buy something for my staff members in South Africa. I went to the shop, I looked everywhere, I couldn't find it. So the next day I was about to go and buy that thing. And I said, Lord, please, direct me to where I'm supposed to go and buy it. You know, that is when the Bible says of Jesus that He was head in that He feared. Jesus Christ knew that. He had the conscience that, look, if God does not direct me in this life, my wisdom will fail me. We should have that consciousness. See, sometimes there's too much knowledge. Let us have that dependence on God and the leadership of His Spirit. go back to that child. Like Solomon said, look, I am a child, Solomon. David would have given him governmental power and anointing. Say, I am like a child. I do not know how to go out or come in. Give me wisdom that I might rule and direct your people aright. That's what God wants. Let's get to where we know too much. Humility before God. But I don't know where to go. I am but a stranger and a pilgrim on the earth. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I was meditating on this scripture and I concluded forever, finally, that look, let us stop fighting men. Let us stop looking on the outside. Where is the weapon? God has given us weapons. And whose weapons are they? The armor of God is God's armor, isn't it? To put on the whole armor of God. He has given you certain weapons. When you're going to fight war, someone gives you weapons, a bit, I know you're, so they give you weapons to use. So God knows that we'll be in conflict on the earth, so He's giving us certain weapons to use. He says, and what is the essence of these weapons? He says, the pulling down strongholds. Say, casting down, where are imaginations? And every high thing that exalts itself against, where's the knowledge? I'm bringing, where's the thought? Into the obedience of the Lordship of Christ. So forget about the problem is sit here. No, let's understand this. It will save you a lot of heartache. People have they've wasted time fighting people. You know, saying is that person that no. Sort out this one. When you have avenged all disobedience, then there'll be a readiness to avenge every disobedience on the outside when your obedience is complete. So focus on your obedience being complete. Then you now be in readiness to avenge every disobedience on the outside. God just said, look, that all these things people are fighting, it is inside. It's not the strength of the opposition. It's not. It's nothing on the outside. The mountains and barriers are on the inside. A man's enemies are they of his own household. Understand this? No, it will save you. When things happen next time, you will say, okay, wait, let me go back. Rather than dissipating unnecessary energy on the outside, Satan wants to bait you, dissipate energy while the real issue is on the inside. We'll show something in scriptures. I will show you something by the Spirit of God that, so that is where the warfare is. Did you hear about fighting? He says, it is here. It is with you. The strongholds are there. The thoughts are there. Everything is there. But God has made a way. And what is lacking is wisdom. That's why when we're saying wisdom, I say, Father, God, the Spirit of God is one. It's wisdom that is lacking. What do I need to do regarding this matter? In clear terms. That's what's lacking. That means wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. And the warfare is for the wisdom of God and the understanding of what I ought to do in specific terms. Once you know what to do, then it's finished. It's true, because Jesus always knew what, that was the difference between Jesus and the disciples. When they say, what should we do? Let us send them away. Send them away. Send them away. There's no bread. Go and buy bread. Jesus says, no. That's wisdom of man. See, he knew what he ought to do. And anytime he didn't know what he ought to do exactly, he did certain things and he waited till he had the exact knowledge on what he ought to do. He knew there wasn't anything on the outside. Look at the story of Lazarus. Let's give that an example. They came and said, Lazarus is sick. He didn't have the exact knowledge of what to do. He waited 3 days. When he finished, okay, now let us go. In that 3 days, he had some communion with the Father. He did certain things that all the strongholds said, Jerusalem, they wanted to kill you, Jesus. He said, it's not possible again. It shows that it's nothing on the outside. Nothing had changed on the outside. Even Lazarus' situation had gotten worse. I want you to understand this. The people wanted to kill him in Jerusalem, but he said, something has happened inside me. Just go, nothing can touch me again. So it is inside you. I want you to get that in your inside. It's not the economy or the God number. It is no, it is not nobody on the outside. It's not the economy. It's not whether you are black or white. It is what is inside you. It's not what the boss is saying. It is what is inside you that draws those things. The Bible says of Joseph that the word of God entered into him and the king sent for him. So you understand this thing. All we are talking about is that have encounters with wisdom inside your house. Let's go to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. We'll show you what to do. When you know this, there will be no strife in your life again. When things happen, you say, I know that let us go back to ourselves. When they talk to you anyhow, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Ezekiel Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Why was Nebuchadnezzar, what's the difference? What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Just understanding and wisdom that we departed from him. Once that departed, everything collapsed. Once that returned, everything was restored. So everything was inside here. He said, my understanding returned, then my kingdom was restored. In the first year, Daniel chapter 9, of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. This is similar to you reading the scriptures and seeing certain things that God has promised you. That, I can see this thing. This looks like, God is leading me in this direction. And what did you do next? Then I set my face. When God has promised you certain words, it doesn't just happen like that. You say, I set my face. People are carrying the God promised them, they rejoice, fine, but there is a warfare involved. I mean, if God says, for example, all your children shall be taught of the Lord, or I and the children that God has given you are for signs and wonders, what does that mean to you? I mean, what is that in practical terms? You don't really know. So you set your face to seek the Lord to find out the specific direction, as in what you ought to do in practical terms. God is not theoretical. That's where the veil is. People have highfalutin words, but they don't, in terms of practice now, what does this interpret to be in my life? What's the interpretation? You say, I set my face to seek the Lord by prayer and supplication with fastings and sackcloth. There's fasting involved. There's prayer involved. And I want to show you something. Go to verse 21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer. Look at it. Listen, it says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins. He was confessing. He was praying and he was declaring. He was speaking and praying and confessing his sins. He was making certain declarations based on what God showed him. While I was speaking in prayer, 21, that man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. God is so strong. Please, stop fighting the people. So stop blaming people for the events that happened in your life. Listen. As I was praying, I saw that there are certain people, I don't know if they're here, maybe at the sound of my voice, there are certain people that the events that are taking place in their past is a stronghold. The enemy has built a monument and has made it so big in their mind that they cannot move forward. Listen, those very things, and they're trying to, some of them are so shameful that they're trying to hide from it. Those very things are the points that God is going to take you into destiny. See, listen, those very things are the very points that God is taking you into the destiny He has designed for you as a person. Those very things. So don't shy away from it. What He's saying is that go back and build a monument. Begin to worship Him inside that place. Listen, begin to worship Him. God will say, it's like manure. When you see manure, it's very repulsive. But manure is what causes the plants to spring up fast. Those things that look like dead situations, that look like repulsive situations in your life, go back and build a monument. Begin to worship at those points. Begin to worship God at those points, and you will see Him unfold a new season in your life. He says it will come out as a root out of a dry ground. Don't let the enemy cheat you. The Bible said the enemy might have meant it for evil, but God has made it for good. See, something has to, you can't just erase it from your mind. So something has to evolve from it. And it's in worship that God brings it out. To stop hiding it. Stop, bring it before God and begin to worship Him in that very place. Because the Spirit of glory is about to rest upon you. Let's go on. 23. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment went forth. And I have come to show thee. Let's go to 22. It says, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill, and that's what the warfare is. The warfare of the 21 days was to get the exact information that the things he ought to do at that particular time. That's what Jesus always knew. Jesus was given to prayer. He was breaking strongholds, breaking things, so that the information was readily present. Understand this. Understand this. The reason why people do not know what they ought to do, there has to be a process whereby you break. See, the enemy doesn't want. See, when he says that veil is there, he says they read the scripture, but there's a veil. The word that they but the veil. That means that veil is preventing you from knowing the exact steps as a human being you ought to take. That is, go right, go left, go, do this, do that. The specific instruction. That's what the veil is. It is not just the knowledge of the scriptures. It is the translation of the scriptures into a workable understanding in your life as a person. He said, I've come to give you knowledge and skill. If you look at 10, when he was talking about another place, he says, though the prince of Persia withstood me. That means the warfare was the information that was relevant to him. Understand this. That's what it says, cast down imagination, strongholds. Things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Satan doesn't want, he will say, let them be there. Confessing general scriptures. But as long as they don't know what you ought to do, it's not a difference. It's what you ought to do that releases the power. When he gets the knowledge and skill, and he carries out that thing, based on what God has showed him inside his heart, miracles, signs, wonders begin to follow. And so the God of this world blinds the minds. Because he knows that this transformation takes place by the renewal of the mind. Even though all the things will be lost in the spirit. Because you're on the earth. So understand this. So stop fighting people. We have to round up. Develop a heart of gratitude to God and understand this warfare. What do you do exactly? Really, we share that. What do you do exactly with the scriptures that God has given you, the word that God has given you? Father, I give you thanks. You see, there's something we have to have called persistence. Importunity. Go to the story of Mark 11. I can't go there. He said, this guy came, he had some visitors. He said, at midnight, went to meet the guy. He said, where is his friend? He said, friend, I have some guys. Please, give me some bread. He went over and over again. Jesus said, look, there's something called importunity, which is called persistence, which you have to have. If Daniel had stopped on the second day, there would be no manifestation. If Daniel had stopped on the third day, no wisdom and skill. There are many things hanging over people. God said, project-based work. You stay with the project, you finish it, you go to the next project. The Hebrew boys, first project, the king's mate, over. Second project, lions, then over. Third project, fire, over. Fourth project. So it is project-based. That's the only way you can move this thing. Because things will linger and linger and linger and linger. You say, enough. Let us face this project. Jesus says, anyone that asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. And whoever knocks, the door shall be opened. Let us understand. Let us make our life, let it be project-based. Say, okay, what is the first thing we have to sum out? We draw a line and say, this is number one. If nothing, will just be going, it's floating. There's no accountability. Number one, put it down there. We're dealing with this one. Challenge. We itemize it. Say, okay, we stay here like Elijah. Go and check 7 times. I'm not moving here from here until we receive the specific knowledge we think we want to do in this matter. Who was the key? God was not the key. In the sense, no, I understand what I'm saying. Who was the key? The angel was not the key. Who was the key to the manifestation? Daniel was the key. In the sense that God is constant. The angels are constant, but he needs someone to stay there and be persistent enough to receive the required wisdom. You see, I believe strongly that there are certain things that the church, people in, with the life of Christ, will break forth in certain wisdom that will solve economic. See, I believe it strongly in my heart. It's not, I mean, the guys that are doing it, it's not, we can come out with certain wisdom that will, a friend of mine in America, one of the guys, he got saved in school there. I went to visit him a few years ago. He said, Ubiye, come. This was someone we were following up. We were teaching the gospel. When I spoke with him that day, I said, Lord, I said, the first shall be last, and last shall be first. I said, these are the person we were following up. I met with him in the hotel. He came. He was sharing with me. Oh! So sometimes it's not good to stay in your field. Go and look at another man's field. And you see that, when he finished, I said, Lord God, where did I miss it? He said, look, I was in America. He's a doctor. I don't know where I'm going here, but I didn't plan. I was in America, and I was working in a hospital. So let me, maybe you're able to relate. You know, okay, the hospital in the UK, you know how big they are. So the hospital was going into administration. And I was just a doctor. And I went to pray. I just told myself, why don't you go and make a bid? Said bid. I'm going to make a bid for a hospital that costs millions. How is it possible to me that doesn't have any? No, think about it. This is a story. Follow this. This is a true story. He said, okay. He said, we can make a bid. There was another guy with him who was a Baptist old. He said, we're going to make a bid. And they considered it. He went back to God in prayer. He said he went to fast for 21 days. Every day he would fast. He would break in the evening and fast. He said, Lord, this one is... And God was giving me instructions. Instructions. Go and get books on how to buy a failing company. I'm going to inform yourself. He said he began to inform himself. His mind began to expand. He began to get things from insurance company. How do you do this? How do you relate to the bank? He began to expand himself. Say, okay, come. My tithes are in 6 figures. I can't tell you how. So I want to see the capacity of the human spirit. Then with the life of God in you and the Holy Ghost there and the word of God in us, it's unlimited. We can take this, you see, we can take the environment we're in. We can take it over. We can.
We're not just supposed to sit down in a job and be sitting down there. No, that is not the essence. You're supposed to manifest certain things, interpret the king's dream in your business. Go to God and say, what is the dream in this man? See, we want to be practical about this Christianity. Show me the dream inside his heart. You have access. You have access. Let us maximize our advantage. So what do we do? I've got lost there. What do we do? First Peter. So it's the knowledge, the skill required. It's the warfare. If you go to 1 Corinthians 9:27, that brought us to the point that, look, it's not anywhere outside. Paul said, we don't fight as one beating the air. He said, we know where the warfare is. He said, I keep my body under, and I bring it to subjection. He said, that's where the war. There's no, forget about the one flying around. Once I can do that, then every disobedience and answer, we avenge it on the outside easily. It's a warfare. Go to 1 Timothy 6:12-17. Let me have to show you that actually. 1 Timothy 6:12. So that's what the warfare is, though, is to get that information, because that's why it says there's a wisdom. There's a wisdom which is among them that are mature. You see, it's not the wisdom of this world. There's a wisdom God has reserved for. See, we have to express this thing. This life of is not. The Bible says in Him was life, and the life was the light or development of men. That means eternal life on the inside, life-giving spirit. So, we give life everywhere we go. Life in the sense of development, innovation, and transforming the environment. This is truth. See, there's a wisdom which none of the princes of this world knew. If they knew that the death of Christ will give humanity access to this kind of wisdom, they would not have crucified him. Now, everyone that is born again has access to this life. It is a dangerous thing to have with people with the life of Christ. Imagine Jesus Christ in multiple forms. No, think about that. We're not maximizing our advantage. He said, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. For God has revealed them to us by his precious Holy Spirit. And the Spirit begins to search. We have the advantage of praying in the Spirit. Search the deep things of God and reveals them to a man. We have the Word of God. It says, he that build all of yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. It says, Paul said, I commend you in Acts 20:22, I think, to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among the sanctified ones. Those are the two tools we have. And what do we do? How do we do this process? How do we go about the First Peter chapter 2? I'm just summarizing because of time. We'll round up here. Because I believe strongly that the Bible says anywhere he went, he was doing good. It's how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing? Who went about to the corporations and telling them the solution to this banking problem? No. Who went about to the hospitals and said, look, adjust this, do this, do that? Who went about doing good? That is what he went about doing. Solving problems. That is what we're about. I was telling you last week. People are shouting, I got a job. I said, that's not it. It's a call to service. They showed me certain things I ought to do in the first year of my presence in that place she has put me. Now, I'm looking, God, show me what the interpretation of the dream of the king is, that I might be able to give him even wisdom and balanced judgment in these things. It's assignment. It's assignment. First Peter chapter 2. No, sorry. First Peter.
sorry, Second Peter chapter 1:16. I'll quote some scriptures because of time, because we just have about 5 minutes. It says, "For I have not followed cunningly devised fables." So Paul was saying that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, look, he said, we understand this ministry. We understand the transforming power of this new creature, the transforming power of this new covenant. We understand it. Therefore, we do not faint. We do not grow weary because we understand that this thing has transforming power. This is the life of God. God gave himself. He didn't need to. He said, there's a purpose. I give myself that I might raise up sons and daughters to manifest my life on the earth. We understand this. And we understand that the efficacy and the power of this endless life in Christ Jesus. So we do not faint. So we do not need to use cunningly devised methods anymore. Because our method is foolproof. See, we understand this clearly. This gospel of Jesus Christ. He now said, let's go here. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. That's what he was trying to say here again. Peter was saying here. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a power. There's a power here we're carrying. There's a power there to transform. It says the first man, Adam, was a living soul. The second man, Adam, is a life-giving spirit. And we have access to that life on the throne of God. That life is the rivers, on the inside of us. Please, we are carrying life. For he received from God, the Father, honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That was what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. The Bible says Jesus went there. You go to your home, read the three versions. The one version, it says Jesus went there and he was praying and his form was changed and it became bright. God was telling me that, look, if you look at Romans chapter 12, when you get to read it, it says that be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That word, that transform means metamorphosized or transfigured. It says the same word that was used when he said Jesus was transfigured on the mountain to be transformed by the... So that change inside you is equivalent to what happened to Jesus on the outside. Then that transformation takes place inside you when you do this process. That means you become a completely different person. Like Glenn was saying this morning, that you become who that thing before you now go out to manifest it on the outside. You have to become it before you go out to manifest it. Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb. He said, look, see, my brother, I am the resurrection and the life. He wasn't joking. He said, he came and said, he announced that I have become, I am that thing. I stayed there until it entered into me. I'm coming to you and say, I am the resurrection and the life. Father, we give you thanks. 19. Therefore, we have a more sure word of prophecy. You know, Paul told Timothy, according to the prophecies you have received, war a good warfare. We have a more sure word of prophecy. The scriptures have been given to us, the prophetic scriptures, whereunto you do well that you take heed. What he's saying is that all the prophecies that God has given you as a person, this is the way to break into that thing. Because he's saying that the entrance of the word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. It's that understanding that you're after. The warfare is for the entrance of the word. That is why he said the enemy came. That's where the warfare is now. In parables, he said the enemy came to steal the word. That's what he gave me. Oh, that's it. The heart was hardened, so the words could not germinate. The strongholds were there. You break them in prayer. And the word, like a hammer, goes down and begins to break. As you do what we're going to talk about, it begins to break those things. You begin to build up yourself. The word begins to break those things until it penetrates. Ah! You jump and say, yes, I've got it. And you hear people say, they come and say, yes, I've got it. Something happened inside. They had an encounter with the word. Remember Bishop Bedeko saying that time? He went 3 days fasting in a room.
said, I must find this key to prosperity. That's what I say, it must be project based. You cannot be, no. You say, this is primary one. Let's do exam in primary one to get to primary two. You can't be floating and say, oh, I'm really. There's no exam. No. You put your thing, examination, finances, number one. Examination, health. Examination, my children's future. You itemize it. Jesus was in the room meditating. He says, I must find the secret. Fasting and searching, digging into Copeland's book. Digging. When he got to one point, he said, enter and say, I've got it. He screamed in his room, yes, I can never be poor. This is not for one person. It's for everybody. And now he's going out, affecting lives. That's the essence. Say the word, sent the word into Jacob. And he lighted upon Israel. When it enters into your soul, then you now go out to avenge every disobedience on the outside. That's how it is. But you cannot avenge any disobedience anywhere. It doesn't pierce your soul. Which you do well, that you take heed, as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns, and the day star arises in your heart. Because we're saying that is now when you now say arise. When did this arise? You now say arise and shine. You begin to shine. There's no way. When that thing enters into you, the entrance of that word into your soul, you come out and you're going to give life to people. So take that scripture, that word he has given you. Begin to go to the process of meditation and praying in the spirit. It's not you sit down in your house and say you take it to that word until it breaks into your consciousness. Basically, that's what it is. The Holy Ghost is there as you are declaring it and meditating on it. He's imprinting it. He's breaking strong. As you're praying, you see, process. Spend 30 minutes. Take that scripture he has given you. Begin to confess it and meditate and mortar it on your bed. Then sit down for 30 minutes and pray in the Holy Ghost. Something. That's the work. Don't leave there. You can go to work, come back. Until the day dawns and the day star rises in your heart, you know you've gotten it. That assurance is there. Okay, now we can go. Number two, one out of the way. Project two. Practice it. It's a practice. If I sat down at home, I began to mutter certain things to get in the service. I muttered it, I prayed in the spirit. I muttered it, I prayed in the spirit. I muttered, I prayed in the spirit. It hasn't reached there yet, but it's on its way. Life is getting bigger. Once it enters into you, no man can take it away from you. Once it enters, no man can take it away from you. That's the practice of Christianity. This is my covenant that I'll make with them, said the Lord. I will write my laws in their hearts and write them in their innermost thought. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Then there shall no man need anyone to say, know the Lord. Because that word, as it enters you, go right, go left. Meet those people. Do that. Invest here. Go there. Do that. Shall teach you what you ought to do. The word of God. Let's go about practice. It's not a message you practice. Those who have come to share the things God has showed us, let those things enter and cause life to spring forth. That's the way we can bless our generation. Father, we give you thanks. As we break bread, something strong came into my heart. Vukala is not here. There's no bread. Okay. It's not here. Don't worry. We just make the declarations. Something came to my heart. Dear sister Bukola had a powerful testimony. I was going to ask her to come and share it with us, but she's not here. Have you seen where they're recruiting people from LinkedIn? I've never seen that kind of thing before. That they saw your profile on LinkedIn and they sent you a message. We want you in this awful company. Huh? No, they did interview, but I mean, they said, we want you. The interview is formality. When they say we want you, this interview, and by the time they finish the interview, they say, you will know more about our company than we do. I mean, that's mysterious. She didn't go and look for it. They came to where she was sitting down. All grace comes to you in abundance. So miracles like that are happening in the life of every single person here. I'm serious about it. The Lord has opened the heaven, so it's not. Whether you like it or not.
it will come to your own turn to give your testimony. You know? So let's understand that. And when I was thinking about it, God was saying a book of remembrance. A book of remembrance. I said, what is that? I went to Malachi. He said, people were talking. He said, a book of remembrance was open. Let's go there. Okay, 3:16. It says, then they that feared the Lord spoke one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And see, God said that, he was saying this, he says, tell you that, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serveth him, then shall ye return and descend between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. That's what's going to happen in your life. No, it will be clear. It will be clear. It will be clear. All the service. Bible says God not sure. Say God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. The times you stand in your prayer closet praying for people. The times you stand in your prayer closet doing things, coming here, setting up. He's saying today, I will declare over you, God is not unrighteous. The Bible says the king could not sleep. He said, where is this Mordecai? Bring those books out. Let us see what happens. God is on your case. He says, I will possess you as my jewel. All the time you come to sing. He says, it's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. All the time you spend preparing. It's not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. And the book of remembrance is open unto you today. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ. The book of remembrance is open unto you, and your reward is released by God in the name of Jesus Christ. You are his, saith the Lord of hosts. In that day, he has made up you as his jewel in the name of Jesus Christ. He has spared you as a man spares his own son that serves him. And when we return, there is a clear distinction between you and everyone that doesn't name the name of the Lord. There's a clear distinction, and men come to ask you, who and how did you come about this? You say, it is the Lord my God that has blessed me mightily. Father, I thank you for, according to your word, you release the blessing upon your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Every seed sown in the private, every seed sown in their lives, every seed sown towards you and towards the things that pertain to your kingdom, we say, Father, a book of remembrance is open today. You have crowned this year for every single person present here with your goodness. And abundance flows into their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Father.